Nonetheless, now, again, in a way of introduction this morning, we're going to be talking about some little mini lessons where we'll spend 1, maybe 2 weeks on a few of these topics that came from you. If you remember back a month or so ago, I asked you if there were some things that you'd like for us to address or questions or something like that, that if you would turn those in, that I'd put some lessons together about that. And so I had several people, well, 4 or 5 people to do that. And so that's what we're going to start with this morning. And by way of introduction to our class, let me start with this. Jack cannot bring himself to attend his parents' 50th anniversary. Their lack of interest in his life and his family has hurt him so much through the years that he wants nothing to do with them, let alone to honor them for 50 years of marriage. Sue cannot sleep at night. She keeps having nightmares about her mother, who abused her as a child. Even though her mother has been gone for 10 years, she cannot forgive her for the pain she caused. Lastly, Tom finds out his co-worker has been criticizing him to the boss and making negative comments about his work. The boss has elevated his co-worker and demoted Tom. Tom can't stop thinking about ways to get even with him. Now, in all of these cases, these are cases of people struggling with an unforgiving heart or an unforgiving spirit. But in all of the cases, who is really the one that's hurting? That person. You see, on the first one here, when we said Jack and his hard feelings toward his parents, Jack's really the one that's suffering with that. And here's Sue with her mother been dead 10 years, and she still can't forgive her. Sue's the one that's bearing the burden. And lastly, Tom, with his issue at work, it's really Tom that's paying the price for all of this. And so you see where our lesson is going to be here, centered around a topic that I think we all deal with. We all have to deal with this. Now, the question, exactly as it came to me, was, what am I to do if I ask my brother to forgive me and he refuses? That was the exact question that was posed and said, will you address this in class? So that's what we're going to do. We'll talk about forgiveness here, and we're gonna deal with some things here as far as what forgiveness is and what it's not and that kind of thing. And we'll see what the Scripture has to say about that. But in the class, and I'm not promising we'll get through this today, this might be one of those two-weekers, but in the class, we're going to talk about this, what forgiveness is and what it's not. Let's understand that. Secondly, we'll deal with this explicitly. How can I forgive someone who's not apologized or shown any kind of repentance? How can I forgive that person? And then lastly, I think a part of the class here that I'd like for us to carry away when we're finished is we'll talk about that there's really forgiveness. There's kind of two kinds of forgiveness or two aspects of forgiveness. And can't get them confused, so we'll talk about that as we get into it. But let's go back to the question here and deal with this. What am I to do if I ask my brother to forgive me and he refuses? Let's begin by opening our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount had something to say that would help us a little bit. I didn't even get that out for today, sorry. Charlie or Billy, one usually does this, but Billy let me down, dear. Charlie's not here, so John always reminds me of that.
I'm not all here this morning, I'm sorry.
Not all here, not all there.
That's right.
No, I didn't say that. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, let's observe one passage here from the Sermon on the Mount and make a point about forgiveness. Verse 23, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now, let me acknowledge that this is under the old law. Jesus giving the Sermon on the Mount was under the Old Testament, old law. But I believe that the principle still applies to us today. And as a matter of fact, when we were talking in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10, there was a comment made. Remember, very recently when we studied chapter 13, there was a comment made about those that serve our altar versus those that serve in their tabernacle. And we made the comment that we have an altar here. It's the blood of Christ. It's the body of Christ. It's the table of communion that we gather around, that we partake of. Basically, the altar to us is our corporate gathering, of which we're part of this morning. So we could apply this principle to say that if we come to worship here, to partake in this corporate worship together, and we remember that our brother has something against us, we need to leave and go take care of that. Now, what's basically that saying? There's something that can impede our worship. And that is, if we have problems with other people, we need to get those problems rectified. So that's basically what we're seeing here in Matthew chapter 5. When we come on the Lord's Day to worship, we need to make sure that we have a clear avenue to worship. And I'll share another verse with you. We won't turn there, but I'll just share it with you. 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Husbands, likewise dwell with them, your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life." Now here it is. "That your prayers may not be hindered." What does that tell us? That tells us that there's things in our life that can hinder our prayers. Just like we're saying here that there's things that can hinder our worship. We've got to make sure that we take care of those issues there, and forgiveness is certainly a part of it. So, in the question that you see on the board, what am I to do if I ask my brother to forgive me? Presumably, you've wronged your brother, and you've asked your brother to forgive you. You've taken that step. So, and then the problem is, what if he refuses? Where do we go from there? So, we're going to have to kind of put ourselves in the brother's shoes here. What am I to do if I ask my brother to forgive me and he refuses? What if it's him? Let's change our places here. What if I'm the one that's been wronged and he sins against me and asks me for forgiveness? That's really kind of where we've got to go with this to start with. So to do that, I want to visit two passages. One is over in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, we're going to go down to verse 15 here in just a minute. We'll read several of these verses before class is over. But we start with Matthew 15, and we find a very similar thing here in a passage in Luke 17, verse 3. I want us to visit both of those because I think there's things that we need to discuss in both of them. Matthew 18, verse 15 says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault." Someone sins against you, go and tell him his fault. You know what? I'm going to say this up front. This may be one of the commands that's most often broken because we rarely see it followed. So many times we as elders have people come to us with a problem with a brother. And Billy, what's the first thing that we'll say to them usually?
Have you talked to them?
And it's not uncommon at all for the answer to that to be no. So we've got to do that first, you know. So I think that this is we see this violated many times. Now we're going to see the same thing here in Luke chapter 17, verse 3, where it says. It says, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Rebuke him. So those are the two passages we start with here. But let's go back to Matthew 18, verse 15, and make some observations. All right, number one. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him. Who's the passage directed to? The offender or the offended? Look at it. The offended. The offended. I've been sinned against. He did me wrong. But the passage is not saying for him to come apologize. That goes without saying. Okay? There's plenty of scripture that backs that up. But this passage here says, I'm to take the responsibility. He wronged me. He sinned against me. But I'm the one that's instructed to go. Do you see why I'm saying that that may be one of the passages that's so often overlooked? So let's talk about that just a little bit. Well, there's several things I want to note here. First of all, in this passage, I think this is the litmus test. This is the litmus test right here. It says, moreover, if your brother what? Sins against you. We're not talking about every little petty grievance. We're not talking about every time your feelings get hurt. We're talking about somebody that sinned against you. Now, granted, that offends you and hurts your feelings, but I'm saying your feelings can get hurt sometimes, and it's not really sin. You know, somebody didn't really sin to do that. You know, well, today was my birthday. Nobody told me happy birthday all day. I got my feelings hurt. You know what I'm saying? That's not sin. So we're not talking about every petty little grievance. We're talking about sin. If your brother sins against you, all right, secondly here, I've already noted this before, but note that the passage is addressed to the offended, not the offender. If your brother sins against you, now we're addressing this question here. What do we do if we've sinned against our brother and we go and ask forgiveness and he says no, he refuses to forgive us? We'll bring all of it full circle, but we got to deal with some of these issues before we get to it. So, the passage is addressed to the offended. What is one reason why I might need to go to my brother?
He might not even know.
No. Billy's got it right off the bat. He might not even know that he sinned against me. Can we sin and not know it? Yeah. You bet we can. So he might not even know it. So one consideration there is that the offending brother might not even know that he offended me. So I need to follow what the scripture here says and go to him. But I think more often, this is the main consideration right here. Forgiveness is intended for the offended, for my heart. That's the big issue right here. The main consideration is forgiveness is a healing thing for the one that's been offended, for me. So I don't want to harbor bitter feelings. I don't want to carry those bitter feelings. I don't want to be that person that 10 years after my mother has died to say, I can't forgive her. See, that's the heart of the matter right there, is the offended is the one that we need to work on first. Now, what is the process that's usually followed? I'm going to give you two scenarios. Somebody sins against me. So here's the first scenario. Well, if they'd just come and ask for forgiveness, I'd forgive them. If they'd just come and say, I'm sorry, I'm waiting. I'm an open door. I want this to be fixed. If they will only come and apologize, here I am. That's the first one. Is that scriptural? It's not what we're reading here in Matthew 18. Now, the second one is worse, because the second one is this way. And I hope that this doesn't describe any of us. But somebody sinned against me and offended me. I need somebody to talk to. So I'm going to find a friend. I need a listening ear. And I'm going to tell that friend. And we're going to talk about it. And next thing you know, somebody else is gathered in. And pretty soon, now I got a whole group of folks that's come to my aid. Well, he shouldn't have done you that way. You know, that's wrong. He shouldn't have done that. And they're all making me feel better, but are we following Scripture by doing that? No. See, that's too often, that's the way that we handle this. Now, I'm going to come back to verse 16 and 17 in just a minute, but let's leave there, and I want to go to Luke 17 first. And let's check this other passage. We're going to come back to verse 16 and 17, but I want to go to Luke chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. All right, let's note what is said here. Take heed to yourselves, it says, if your brother, what? Sins against you. All right, the first note was same thing as Matthew here. We're talking about sin. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Go to him. That's what you got to do, to rebuke. You got to go to him. And if he repents, forgive him. Now, I want to think about this just a minute. Because I think I've been wrong about this for a long time. I had a note in the margin of my Bible that I went back and corrected. Because I don't feel that way anymore. What my note said was, well, let me put this up first. Does the, if he repents, we forgive him, make our forgiveness conditional? Now, for a while, I said yes. Forgiveness is conditional. He has to repent. I don't feel that way anymore. Now, let me tell you why I don't feel that way. It's because of the context of the verse. We often are guilty of taking verses out of context. Go back and look at verse 1 and 2 and see where this is said. Verse 1 says, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Verse 1 and 2, in the context, we're talking about causing someone to stumble. I don't want to be guilty of causing someone to stumble. And that's what this is talking about. Woe to him that caused someone to stumble. I'm sorry, guys. You just have to forgive me. My nose is dripping. Woe to him that causes someone to stumble. In that context, then, it says, if your brother sins and he comes to you and says, and I'm paraphrasing now, if he sins and he comes to you and says, I'm sorry, I apologize, what are we to do? Forgive him. Otherwise, we're causing him to stumble. That's the context of it. That's not talking about my heart, what I have in my heart. Now, I want to show you two different ways of looking at this. John Wesley, now this is a writer from long ago, but John Wesley, in his notes on the New Testament, said forgiveness is due only to real penitence. In other words, he takes the view that forgiveness is conditional. If he repents, forgive him. That's taking it out of context. That's taking it out of context. I can't harbor bitterness toward anybody simply because they won't repent. My salvation, my heart, my attitude is dependent on somebody else's actions if I do that. I think that's taking it out of context. I think the context of what we just looked at there is causing a brother to stumble. Billy sins against me. Billy comes and says, I'm sorry. And I said, too bad. I don't want anything to do with you anymore. Billy can't go through the rest of his life harboring that bitterness. See? That's not what this is talking about. What this is talking about is if he does that to me, then he's causing me to stumble. Don't do that. If your brother sins against you, forgive him. If he repents, forgive him. If he comes to you and asks, you forgive him. So now let me show you another one here that backs up what I'm saying. Ray Summers' commentary on Luke, in my opinion, is a better view. Now here's what it says. Ray says, but what if he does not repent? What if he won't say I'm sorry? What if he refuses to forgive me? That's really kind of getting to the heart of what we're talking about today. What if he does not repent? See, that's exactly our study. What if he won't accept it when I say I'm sorry? Ray Summers says the follower of Jesus is not justified in holding a spirit of unforgiveness just because no apology is offered. That would put the responsibility for the Christian's attitude upon the offender, and that, according to Ray, and I agree, Jesus would never do. Forgiveness in my heart doesn't have anything to do with whether the offender apologizes, repents, changes his life, or whatever he does. That doesn't have anything to do with the forgiveness in my heart. Now let me carry you to an example. Jesus on the cross. Jesus on the cross, when he was being crucified, one of the seven sayings on the cross was this: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now that's the Lord, that's God on the cross, that's deity on the cross. But that forgiveness was really showing us his heart. It wasn't forgiving them. It wasn't forgiving their actions. How do you know that, Glenn? Go to Acts chapter 2. And on Pentecost, those same people that crucified the Lord were in attendance when Peter was preaching. And at the end of the sermon, what did they say? What was their question to Peter? Men and brethren, what? What shall we do? Well, was Peter's response, was you don't have to do anything. The Lord forgave you on the cross. No. Their forgiveness was conditional. Not from Jesus' heart. Jesus' heart said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. But that wasn't God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness, and that speaks to this matter here. There's two kinds of forgiveness. This is one of the things I wanted us to get out of this lesson. One is the forgiveness of man. That's really what we've been talking about most of the time. My heart. Someone sins against me, what is my attitude? My attitude has to be a heart of forgiveness. But is that the same thing as them being forgiven by God? No. See, there's two kinds of forgiveness here. And that's illustrated perfectly on what we just said about Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. That's Jesus' heart. And his heart was a heart of forgiveness and compassion and love toward them. But that's not the same as them being forgiven by God as far as their sins being washed and absolved from their sins. That didn't happen until Pentecost when they responded to the gospel. So let me ask the question. How can I forgive someone who's not apologized or shown any kind of repentance? And I'll take answers. How can I forgive someone if they haven't apologized or shown any kind of repentance?
It takes a lot of prayer.
And you know what, Janet, that's a good response. I had someone tell me something a lot of wisdom in this a long time ago. If you've got someone that you consider an enemy, maybe that's wronged you, and you consider them an enemy, if you will pray for that person and call their name in prayer, that's what Janet just said, pray. You know what happens over time if you'll do that? Your heart will be softened toward it. Now, I don't know whether that's God's working in our life or whether it's just a product of us changing our attitude and praying for that person and calling their name in prayer. But how do you do that? How do you forgive someone when they won't repent? no right or wrong answer. I'm just asking for some input.
You really got to have a forgiving heart, period. You know, it's...
Maybe Ephesians 4:32, forgiving one another as Christ, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. So if we think about that, yeah.
And do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You know, you'd want somebody to do that to you. So, I mean, you're going to get to Colossians 3:13, I'm sure, in your lesson.
Yeah, we will, eventually.
Yeah. It's also your attitude that you
have. Your attitude. Which really reveals your heart, right? Huh. Well, y'all are headed right where I'm going with this matter of the heart. Let's go back to our original question. What am I to do if I ask my brother to forgive me and he refuses? I wronged him, but I've gone to him and asked him. Now we're not talking about a friend at work. If my what?
Brother.
If my brother. We're talking about a brother here. What am I to do if I sin against my brother and I ask him to forgive me and he says no? Let me ask you this question. Is he not now guilty? He's a brother. Is he not now guilty of sin, having an unforgiving heart? What if I go to him? What if I did what Matthew 8 says? Go back to Matthew. I told you we'd wind up back there and look at verse 16, 17. Let's do that. Matthew 18, verse 15 says, if your brother sins against you, what's the first thing you, the offended, what's the first thing you're told to do? You go to him and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. All well and good. And it's just between the two of you, if that's the case. What if he says no? Isn't he guilty of having an unforgiving heart? So let's continue reading here, verse 16 and 17. But what if he won't hear? That's what we're talking about. What if he will not hear? What are you to do then? Verse 17 says, take one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. All right, so here's the next step. He won't accept my apology. He's a brother. Then I need to take two or three more, or I need to take one or two more with me. Now, I'm sorry. I sinned. I'm sorry. I want your forgiveness. Now, what does it say? If he refuses to hear them, go ahead and read on. Tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Now, if you want to write in your margins here, cross-reference Titus 3:10 to that passage. Because in there it says, after two or three warnings, reject a divisive man. That's what we're talking about here. First of all, you go individually. Now see, we're talking about here, my brother has refused to forgive me. He's guilty of sin. He won't forgive me. He's got an unforgiving heart. But I've gone to him. Now, the short answer to the question is, what responsibility after all of that do you have? You're through. The ball is in his court. You sinned against him. You asked for forgiveness. You took a couple with you to try to absolve it. You turned it over to the elders of the church. You're through with the problem. The ball is then in his court. So, now, if you continued here, back to this attitude idea, the unforgiving heart. Let me just summarize here a little bit. If you continued reading in Matthew chapter 18, in verse 21 begins the parable of the unforgiving servant. Remember the servant that owed the big debt and the master forgave him of the debt, etc. I'm summarizing all that because I want to go to the end of the chapter. The last verse of that chapter, verse 35. says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you, now here it is, underline it, if each of you from the heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Where does forgiveness start? In the heart. It's in our heart. That's what we've got to do. That's what we've got to deal with, first of all. So, all right, so Billy and I have a problem. He sinned against me. I'm going to be the offended. He sinned against me. He came to me, and he said, I'm sorry. And I said, I forgive you. Does that necessarily restore our relationship to where it was prior to the offense? Now, I'm not harboring bitter feelings. I'm not harboring bitterness toward him. But here's the point I wanted to make. I told you we're going to talk about what forgiveness is and what it's not. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. That doesn't put the relationship necessarily back to where it was before. Whether we're talking about a husband and wife, or whether we're talking about brothers in Christ, or friends. Now, I want you to understand, we talked about the forgiveness idea. I'm not talking about harboring bitterness toward him. I'm not talking about holding hard feelings toward him. I'm simply saying that that doesn't necessarily mean that Billy's going to be my best friend from now on. Let me just run through a few of these and make my point. Forgiveness can take place with only one person. That person who sinned against me may not want forgiveness, and he may not repent, and he may never say, I'm sorry. That doesn't have anything to do with my forgiveness. Forgiveness involves only one person. Reconciliation, however, would involve two. If we want to reconcile our friendship, then it's going to take two of them. Forgiveness is directed one way. Reconciliation is reciprocal. That's occurring two ways. Forgiveness is a decision to release the offender. In my heart, I'm not going to hold bitterness, and I'm going to release the offender, whether he wants released or not. I'm going to release him. Reconciliation, however, takes the efforts of both. Forgiveness involves a change in thinking about the offender. Not going to harbor bitterness. I'm not going to harbor ill will toward him. Reconciliation, however, involves a change in behavior by the offender. Now they've got to want to restore the friendship. Forgiveness is a free gift to the one who has broken trust. Reconciliation is a restored relationship based on restored trust. I think about a marriage relationship in that. You know, trust can be broken in a marriage relationship. And forgiveness needs to occur. And hopefully reconciliation will occur. But that's two different things, however. Forgiveness is extended even if it's never, ever earned. Reconciliation is offered to the offender because it has been earned. They've changed their behavior. They want the friendship restored. And lastly here, forgiveness is unconditional regardless of lack of repentance. That's my heart. That's my heart, not forgiveness from God. God's forgiveness is conditional. Forgiveness from my heart is unconditional because it has nothing to do with whether you want forgiveness or not. I can't carry that grudge. I can't carry that harbor bitterness all of my life. So here we go. Let's talk about this. Forgiveness from the heart. How much time I got left? Ooh, I'm about out of time. Let's go fast here. What forgiveness is and is not. Now, this is important. This is important right here. Forgiveness, what it is and what it is not. It does not mean that the wrongs done to you were acceptable. It was okay that you did that. And no, that's not what forgiveness is. It does not diminish the evil done against you, nor is it a denial of what happened. It does not remove consequences. It does not signify weakness on the part of the offended party. It's not weak for me to say, I forgive you. That's not weak. But what is forgiveness? Let's end on this right here. What is forgiveness? It's letting go of the desire to retaliate or hurt the other problem. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. He can take care of that. I got to release those feelings myself. And it simply means I'll not let it become a root of bitterness in my heart. Forgiveness. We may or may not continue a discussion on this next week. There's some other things I can say about it.
We forgive you.
I'll decide that. Thank you, Alan. I appreciate it. We'll reconcile, okay? Thank you very much for your attendance today.
Good job.
Are you back?
Yesterday, she was so wanting to hear this lesson. So, Maria, was it going to be on your blog?